Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hour number three, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. Rich is on vacation this week. Wiggy is in the house with us. And he showed up, Owly, and nothing we've said today has made him feel any better about things. We got word earlier in the last hour that, according to the Detroit Free Press, the Big Ten has canceled football season. The announcement is expected to come tomorrow. The Pac-12 is reportedly going to be the next shoe to drop. Michael McCann retweeted a sports law professor who said, "Dominoes. My guess is that in a few days, there is officially no college football anywhere, and then quickly thereafter, schools all announce they will go remote, and we are back to where we were in March."
Right. And that's then trickle-down effect to high school, right?
Yeah.
And then going to be high school where
what it feels like.
No high school football and all remote learning. Because how can you justify kids going to school, but you can't justify them not having fall sports?
My daughter's high school, they've already been told it's going to be remote, at least to start.
What does that mean, like, at least to start?
Well, I mean, they're not saying it's going to be remote learning for the year.
Well, but I mean, is that like...
They just can't put a number on it. They can't say, okay, it's going to be until January 4th. All right. Who knows?
Right, okay.
My guess is most of the high schools in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts will start the year with some sort of either remote or hybrid plan, and that virtually no high schools will start with everybody in the building.
Right. Now, I wonder, and the MIA came out with this last week, they said that if you remote learn, you're still able to have fall sports. So I wonder if maybe that is the only, you know, kind of like, all right, you know, light at the end of the tunnel, where these kids can still remote learn and then still be able to take advantage of, you know, fall sports activities.
All right, let's say that's the case.
Yep.
What would the school say? Look, it's not safe to bring everybody back, but we can bring the football team back.
Well, no, it would be football, it would be soccer. Well,
whatever team. I'm just using that as the example.
Well,
it's not safe to bring you all back in the building, but we can bring the sports teams back.
It's safer that because we're dealing with less kids, right? So now rather than deal with the 2,600 or maybe 1,500 kids at a specific school, depending on how big it is, you only got to deal with and the athletes would only really be coming back for practices, which are outdoors. And then games, which are outdoors.
So presumably there would not be locker rooms or anything like that.
Nope, there would be no locker rooms because I think that's kind of the mindset, even if they are able to go back to school, is that, you know, kids are going to maybe have to get dressed in the gymnasium. There'll be no real locker room setups, you know. If they do anything, they'll get to the field already dressed. They'll do their locker room basically outdoors.
It was Pat Forty, I think, for Sports Illustrated, who initially, this was when I saw this story last night. He said, "Nationwide conference meetings this week expected to result in the postponement of the 2020 college football season and all fall sports." He quoted a Power Five conference official as saying, quote, "We've got work to do that's no fun."
Right. Because here's the other thing, Dale, that I don't think anybody's really talking about, right? What now happens with the spring product, right? Spring college football, that's what you're saying. You are going to get a watered-down spring football because you're going to have a ton of players, especially those first, second round, maybe even third round picks potentially going, you know what? I'm not going to play in the spring. You're going to have the draft while the college football season's still going on. Then you're going to have a lot of kids that go, well, if I'm not really having a college season, maybe I should just focus on training and getting ready for the combine / pro days. So why even go to school? Why even do any of that?
I think that's very likely. I think you've hit the nail on the head for a lot of, I mean, Trevor Lawrence is not going to classes, I don't think.
No, but I mean, even the guys that might be, because you got to think, right? There are a lot of college athletes that go and they might be on the bubble as far as chance that whether they're undrafted free agents and going, all right, you know what? I'm going to take my chance not going to classes and train to go to the NFL and utilize all fall and into next spring to get me ready for the combine and pro days. So you'll get a ton of players. They don't have to necessarily be the Trevor Lawrences, the Justin Fields. They could be the guys like myself coming out and going, you know what? I mean, I might have snuck in the back door as a seventh-round draft pick, but maybe as an undrafted free agent, I see it happening all the time. My main focus is football.
So here's the other question. Let's assume for the sake of our argument that they're going to play football in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say that's going to happen. We don't even know, but Matt Chatham points this out. He said, let's say the college football season is March, April, May.
Okay.
Draft the first week of July. Rookies report to camp thereafter. Vets later in the month, as usual. A relatively short order draft with a date change is doable, but combine would be toast.
Right.
No time for athletes to prepare. It'd be a waste of time.
Right.
And a lot of those people who use the combine to make themselves into NFL players, well, they're just not going to get the chance to do that.
Right. And think about not just the combine, but the number of pro days that all these schools generally have in, you know, March and maybe early April. A lot, because I think a lot of guys go to the combine, but they don't do all the testing. They wait for their pro days. They want to be in a comfortable environment. Even Joe Burrow didn't throw until he was at LSU, right? So how do you now then go, okay, we're trying to have a college season and then the NFL? It would screw everything up. I think what you're going to see happen is you're going to see a ton of kids that are not going to play college football in the spring. And you're going to definitely see the top-notch guys. So you're not going to see Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, any one of those guys that potentially are going to get drafted in the first, second, or third round. You won't see none of those guys.
First overall pick in the draft, Joe Burrow tweeted out a few minutes ago. He says, I feel for all college athletes right now. I hope their voices are heard by the decision makers. If this happened a year ago, I may be looking for a job right now. Now, he's an interesting case. Because with no college football season last year, there is no way he'd have been the first overall pick in the draft.
No,
because
he was a projected fifth-round pick before the season
started.
And
he went out there and put up a season for the ages.
Right. And does he even play, though? Does he go, okay, I'm projected to go in the fifth round now. Should my focus be training and getting ready for a combine or a pro day? Or should I run the risk of playing during the time that all that stuff's going on? You think the NFL is going to say, okay, we're going to put the combine on pause. We're going to put the pro days on pause. We're just going to wait till the season's over with? College football season's over with? If they play their season, you think they're going to wait? No, they're going to say, okay, all the guys that are available who have said, you know what, we're not playing college football, those are the guys that we're going to look at.
If now we're in one of the only areas of the country where college football, let's be honest, Wiggy, is not as big a deal as it is most places.
True.
The NFL is what matters where we live,
mm-hmm.
which means that if you're an NFL fan in New England, in the Boston area, you're saying, great, they're going to give up Saturdays. The NFL's going to slide right in, do that triple header we were talking about mm-hmm. earlier. I get more NFL football, or you get the same amount of games as you'd get normally,
right.
but I get more days of the week. I'm all good.
Right. Right, but would you say that we're in the minority when it comes to college football?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So I think that there would be more people upset with the fact that even if it is in a place like, you know, I don't know, let's say Ohio or something where they got a professional football team, but the rest of the country, they love college football. They'll be upset about it, and yeah, they'll be happy that it'll be more, you know, but you think that Cleveland or Cincinnati fans, they'd rather see Ohio State play than the Browns or the Bengals play.
So the head football coach at the University of Michigan, Jim Harbaugh, has put out a statement. He doesn't like the fact that apparently, you know, the Big Ten's about to shut him down for the year.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes through all of these things. He said the Michigan football program has had 11 positive tests out of 893 administered. He said three upon initial return to campus. He says, we're doing it right. This isn't easy. This is hard, but we can do this.
Right.
He's basically, and he's stealing Trevor Lawrence's hashtag at the end. He says, hashtag we want to play. And then he adds, hashtag we want to coach. I'm sure all the coaches in the Big Ten do want to coach and do want to play. but it looks as though that decision's being taken out of their hands.
Right, because he knows, just like that senator from Nebraska said, that the kids with having the structure and having the discipline of the program during the football season, they would be more beneficial health-wise versus if you're just telling these kids, all right, go home. There's no real – we can't train because you guys ain't going to be on campus. We'll see you later. We'll see you come January, whatever. Where do you think kids – and I'm talking athletes because we're focused on them, right?
Yeah.
Where do you think they'd be more where are they more at risk for doing the wrong things versus doing the right things? And I think if you just basically tell them, see you later, we'll see you come, we'll let you know how things are in January, I think there's probably more of a risk for them to, you know, go out, party, kind of just, you know, not have any real care in the world versus if they were there, they were getting the proper structure, they were going to practice, they're in meetings, they're basically, you know, they're being babysat by these coaches. I know it's kind of a, you know, tricky word to use, but they're basically somebody's always telling them where to be, what to do, this, that, and the other, and making sure that, hey, if you are sick, you can, we got plenty of doctors for you to see. Versus if kid's at home and he's feeling a cough or something, think he's going to see a doctor on his own? No, he's, you know, just laying in bed and going, okay, I'll be at the party Friday night.
So we told you that of the Power Five conferences, the Big Ten is the one that reportedly has already made the decision. They're done.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about the other four. Louisville head coach Scott Satterfield said this morning he was told the ACC is moving forward no matter what other conferences do. He then said, quote, that's what we'll do until we hear otherwise.
Right, and that's why, remember when you asked me that question, I said the Big Ten might be the only conference out there.
Well, the Pac-12 supposedly is.
All right.
They've supposedly
already decided. So let's say they're in limbo, or even if they throw them. So three out of the five Power Five conferences might go, you know what, we're moving ahead because – this could be an opportunity for us. This could be an opportunity for teams that are in the ACC like a Louisville now. Hey, we could, you know, maybe make some money, start playing some national games every Saturday because, you know, we're the only ticket in town. We talk about it for the NFL, how they would love Saturdays. How do you think the rest of, you know, the ACC, the SEC, and the Big 12 would love to know, hey, we got these two other conferences don't want to play? Think about all the opportunity that could be there for people watching these games.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Mike's in Framingham. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how you guys doing?
How are you?
Wait, you were talking about the unions and stuff for the football players?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be tough because I don't know if you watched that documentary that had 150 years of college football.
Yeah.
They had this one athlete called Ray Dennison. Back in 1955, he died as a result of an injury on the field. His wife wanted workman's comp because he died because they had three kids.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they came up with the term student athlete.
Okay.
Because he won in court. They fought it again. And because they're student athletes, that's why they don't get workman's comp. That's how screwed up the NCAA is.
Right, okay.
So they'll fight tooth and nail for all this stuff.
And I believe you, Mike. I think it'd be too hard to unionize. I know, but when we talk
Yeah, Michael McCann said you've got so many schools, you
right.
know, public, private. I mean, it's probably impossible to put it all together.
Right, and maybe what ends up happening is there is like Michael McCann said, there's more of an equal voice for the student athletes. And maybe what you'll start to see, and you're seeing a lot of these governors doing it in different states throughout the country, is they're saying, okay, these athletes can maybe make money off their likeness. So maybe that might be a way to, you know, you say, hey, we're not going to let you unionize, but we will give you this.
Mark Blauchin, who used to cover college sports, both for the Dallas Morning News and the Boston Globe, one of the best college sports guys out there, he tweeted out 5 minutes ago, if college football goes dark, count on the NFL to create two or three new All-Star games in January, like the Senior Bowl, to evaluate talent. Makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah. Get a chance
to see kids and talk to kids. And
Perfect player. Kid Duggar from the New England Patriots.
Yes,
their first pick, but they're in the second round. The reason why they drafted him is because of what he did at the Senior Bowl. So there might be a lot of kids that go, You know, there might be and it was more so about what he did at the Senior Bowl in practice, not necessarily the game, because that's really where they're watching these kids, not the game, because the game is like a glorified all-star game, but while they compete in practice. So what you might see is more of that, where, you know, a kid like Justin Fields or Trevor Lawrence is going, all right, I might not play in the game, but I am going to take advantage of that week of practice.
Sure. I mean, at least give you a chance to get your name and face in front of some scouts and some GMs and mm-hmm. coaches. And I'm going back to the statement that Jim Harbaugh put out. And now he knows what I know and what you know, that apparently his conference already said, we're done. We're out.
Mm-hmm.
So I almost wonder, does he think he's going to change their mind with what he put out there today?
I don't think so. I think it's him just saying, you know, why are you canceling when you look at the numbers that we've been testing these kids and here's what we have, right? Right. You brought up the NHL bubble. The one thing that we know from the NHL bubble is they tested X amount of players and zero positive.
Over 7,000 tests and zero positive.
Right.
Tests.
So what Harbaugh is doing is going, okay, here's the number of players that we tested and here's what we have. Why are we canceling? The BC just talked about, I think it was like 184 players over the weekend, zero positives. So what these coaches are trying to do is saying, hey, listen, we can do this. The protocols, the guidelines, all this stuff that we're putting in place is working. It is difficult, but we can do this. Don't ruin the season because you're afraid of something that you're afraid of the extreme worst. When we're telling you, based on the data and the information that we have, you don't have to be worried about that. And
no, I guess I'm just wondering. Now, presumably, when the University of Michigan president voted to get rid of the season, because according to Dan Patrick, the only two schools who voted to continue were Iowa and Nebraska. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I got to think that the president of the University of Michigan has already told Jim Harbaugh, Jim, I voted against continuing, and by the way, 12 of the 14 said we're not coming back. So Harbaugh knows the decision's been made.
Right, but don't you...
So what's he trying to accomplish?
But it just tells me that he doesn't agree with the...
I don't think he does.
Right, and I bet a lot of coaches in the Big Ten, you know, whether it's, you know, Mel Tucker for Michigan State, whether it's Harbaugh at Michigan, you know, whether it's Day at Ohio State, probably going, telling the AD, like... or the commissioner or the president, like, we don't agree with your decision. We can do this. So, I mean, maybe that's why he's doing it, to say, hey, this is not a decision that the coaches want to do. We want to play, but unfortunately, this is over our head, and that's kind of what he's doing, is saying, we've done everything right. So here are the numbers to show you. Here is the numbers to why we can do it, but they're electing to do it because they're afraid of the extreme worst.
Let's say, for the sake of argument, that three of the Power Five conferences pull the plug. We'll say the SEC and the ACC says, no, damn it, we're going.
Mm-hmm.
If three of the five pull the plug, will that have a trickle-down impact on high school sports as well?
And what do you mean? In what way? As far
like
as
we've
if
already
they play?
Had, we've already had a bunch of colleges. The MAC went yesterday.
Right.
If you have three of the Power Five who say, we can't do this, do administrators of high school programs around the country who are still trying to keep mm-hmm. this ship afloat, they just say, you know what, they can't even do it at Michigan, for God's sake.
Now,
how are we going to do it here?
I don't think it affects them one bit, because you're already seeing it, right? You're already seeing – it's all based on the governors of the state. That's what it's going to come down to. Because in Georgia right now, they're playing football. They're practicing. They're doing everything down in certain parts of Georgia. In Massachusetts, we haven't heard anything. In New Hampshire, the governor's already said, we're going to allow these kids to go back to school and play all sports, not just football. So it's going to come down to the governors of that state. So in Florida, right, the governor is probably telling these high schools, hey, you guys can play football.
Oh, I promise he is.
Right. So now
based on how he's handled things.
Right, and he's already told the rest of the ACC and the SEC, hey, you guys want to play, you can come down here and play. So what he's going to do is say, I'm allowing you guys to play. Now it's up to your MIAAs and whatever the different leagues or like, you know, athletic associations there are. Hey, you need to come down with a plan, whether that's, you know, practice time, you know, distancing, dressing outside, no indoor locker rooms, how you traveling to the games. Obviously, testing, I think that's something that you can't do, because it's just – too difficult to ask parents to say, hey, you got to get tested or who's going to pay for it. But, hey, here's all the other things that we can put in. We're sanitizing all the equipment before and after practice. All these guidelines that these leagues will put in, and then it will be up to the school districts to decide, okay, we can do those things or we can't, and that's why we're not playing.
There were more video sessions today from the Patriots. We heard from Lawrence Guy, Isaiah Wynn, and Julian Edelman. We'll hear what some of what they had to say in just a couple of minutes. It's Dale and Keefe with Wiggy, and it's time to trend.
Back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
You know, I'm still, you're constantly, I want to say disbelief at this particular point in time, man, but it's just a surreal moment. You know, guys, nobody really knows, you know, how excited I am, you know, just to be a part of this organization in many ways than one. Just following up such a powerful dynasty with that is enriched in so much prestige, lineage of success. That, you know, for me, a lot of people would hide from the notion to do certain things. But for me, man, I think this opportunity is something that I wake up pinching myself each and every day, and it's so surreal.
That was quarterback Cam Newton, who had his first Zoom media conference on Friday. The conference has continued today. And Julian Edelman, who I guess at this point he's one of the senior members of the team, right? I mean, I would guess he and Matthew Slater are probably – the senior fellas on this roster, probably.
Especially Julian on offense. I mean,
offense, absolutely.
Yeah, he'd be the guy.
So Julian was asked today about the Patriots moving forward without his best friend Tom Brady.
I mean, obviously, it's, you know, it was a little different scenario, you know, but you got to move on, and you understand that this is a business, and you wish him well. And that's when you instantly start thinking about what you have to do to prepare yourself to go out and contribute and help the team for the upcoming year. So, obviously, yeah, we played a lot of ball together. I love him to death, but, you know, the train keeps moving, as it will when, you know, I'm not playing here or something. I mean, it just always keeps going. So, you know, we got to worry about the people that we have here and you know, try to prepare ourselves the best we can with the situation that we're in with all everything we're dealing with.
Must make him sad when he sees pictures of Brady and Gronk together, huh?
What he really wanted to say is, man, I wish I was down there with Gronk.
They couldn't bring me down there.
Right, Tom? Can you force a trade to get me out of here, too? But no, Julian, I mean,
I think he might have trouble making that wide receiving squad.
Yeah, but he would find this home, right? I think the thing with Edelman, he knows he's the perfect Patriot, right? He's fallen in line. He knows what to say. You know, hey, the train keeps on moving. We can't worry about what Tom Brady's doing, even though he's a great friend of mine. My focus is on, you know, what do I need to do to help this team win? And that's what you're going to get from a guy like Julian. And Cam Newton, and you get, and I think it's more about what you get from Cam than what you get from Julian Edelman, right? Because we all knew what Julian was going to say.
Yeah.
Cam was the one we were like, oh, what's he going to say? And I think hearing him speak.
He had already gotten his Patriot Way vaccination, hadn't he?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They all get it. I mean, and that's why when I, you know, there was all this stuff going on with Cam. How's he going to fit with Bill? It works out with Bill always.
He's a smart guy. He knows, all right, this is what I can do. This is what I can say. I mean, Cam Newton's a smart guy.
Right, and it always, like, people always conform to the way Bill, to his coaching style is, right? And it works out in the sense where they come here and they're not that type of person. And when it doesn't, Bill ships you out. The guy that I would look at and say, okay, here's what happens when you don't conform to what Bill wants you to do would be Michael Bennett, right? They went, they got Michael Bennett, everything was good. He don't like some of the things that they're asking him to do. He then gets a little bit flippy, some things that get said. He gets into it with a coach, boom, next thing you know, he's up out of here, right? So for the most part, when you think about guys who come here, they usually buy in, and the ones that don't buy in, they're on the first thing smoking.
They're usually out of here, aren't they?
They are gone.
So Julian was asked today about his first impressions of quarterback Cam Newton.
I mean, he's a specimen for sure. You know, when you first meet him, just his stature, the dude is large, put together well, and he's got a great energy. He's got a great energy about himself. I was really impressed with, you know, his work ethic and his mindset. You know, just like I've been impressed with Stidhams and Hoyers, you know, throwing with those guys as well. You know, these everyone's out here and everyone's competing at all positions, and competition makes us all better. And, you know, we're looking forward to going out and continuing our phase one or two, whatever we're on right now, to eventually getting in pads and getting ready and preparing for real football. So that's how I felt.
Notice how he plays the game, too.
Perfect.
Way, you know, Jarrett Stidham's a pretty impressive guy, too. I mean, he's not going to play any favorites.
Nope. And that's, you know, even in his mind going, all right, I'm probably knowing it's going to be Cam Newton, and I'm hoping it's Cam, but he does everything. He's the perfect Patriot when it comes to, you know, hey, you want to ask Julian some questions? The only thing he praised him on was his size and his stature and his work ethic. But he also then praised, you know, Hoyer and Stidham, same thing. So
that's always safe for the Patriots, by the way. If you praise a guy for his work ethic, they're all good with that.
Yeah, and but that's what you know these guys are going to do, right? And, you know, and it goes back to what was Cam going to say, right? What was Cam going to say? Because we kind of know what Julian was going to say. We know what, you know, Lawrence Guy or whoever else they put in front of us, we know what they're going to say. But what is Cam going to say? And it seems like you said, Dale, his vaccination shot is working really well on him when it comes to, you know, being the perfect patriot.
So Julian was asked whether he feels pressure as, you know, one of the primary returning guys on the offense to help keep this offense afloat.
I think what I could do is worry about myself and you know, the guys that play are my position and the receiver room, and just try to, you know, lead by example and let guys know, you know, and correct guys or you know, a guy that you can ask questions to, and just kind of that whole role, just doing, you know, mainly worrying about myself, because that's kind of our thing around here. You know, worry about yourself, do your job. We got a bunch of coaches that have been doing this a long time. That's their job to, you know, get the guys going. But, you know, if someone needs a question to be answered, and if I know it, I'm certainly going to help to the best of my ability, and worry about, you know, the guys in my room. So that's what I'm going to try to do, and you know, that's what I've tried to do in the past, and I'll continue to try to do in the future.
I mean, it's perfect. Like every word. I mean, it's like check. You checked all the boxes. We're good.
All right. It's like somebody's almost basically typing in what to say. But that's just the way it is there. And did anybody think it was going to be different? You know, did people think that, you know, Edelman or these guys were going to go, oh, I can't believe Brady's gone, and what are we doing here? And no, they were going to basically conform and say, hey, you know, I can only worry about myself, you know, and help out guys when they need questions that are answered. But, you know, my main job is doing my job and, you know, helping out the young receivers. That's perfect Patriots. That's like, it, you know, when they put up, here's how to be, you know, Patriots 101, how to answer questions, the, you know, questions that are thrown to you to deflect and focus on what we're trying to focus on here. And that's, I mean, that's perfect.
Final cut from Julian. He was asked, how is the relationship building with both Cam and Jarrett Stidham?
Well, I mean, that takes time, and that takes reps, and that takes experience. And right now we're really focused on getting our condition, you know, brushing up our minds on the material that our coaches are giving us, and learning each other. You know, not just quarterbacks, but learning our teammates. It's been a funky year with the organized team activities, where we've been virtual like this the whole time. It's been great to just go out here, and exciting to meet your teammates in person, you know, socially distanced, of course. It's been, those are the kind of things that you've been looking forward and you're excited for. The on the field stuff that comes through reps, that comes through time, that comes through, you know, meetings and just sitting and being around each other. That's how you develop those types of things. So,
and again, check, Check out that box.
And the award goes to
the
New England Patriots for the most boring and basic team when you ask some questions. I mean, you know what's coming in this direction. I mean, did we know? And I guarantee if you played anybody else that got in, you know, that has interviewed, they'd all sound like Julian Edelman.
Let's give you one more. And this is from a defensive guy. Let's hear about Lawrence Guy on the news that Cam Newton signed with his team.
You know, we went through everybody's mind. You know, we're during COVID, you know, you're trying to figure out how to bring a team together and new aspects of bringing people in. And, you know, you get a person like that, big body, mobile quarterback. He's like, this is going to be exciting when we get into practice. But the dynamic he brings into the locker room and everybody embracing him is the best part. Because, you know, we got a unique team here. So once he came in, he's fitting right in. I think Hoy and Stidham, they're walking them open arms. And, you know, them coming onto the field and hearing them talk, you can see them throwing different plays out and aspects out. So it's going to be one of those things that we can't wait to get the pads on to see pretty much how everything's rolling together with Cam being in here, with Hoy being here, Stidham, how the playbook is going to come to life.
Everybody always mentions all the quarterbacks.
That's it.
Right?
That's
they don't
it.
Get now with Tom here.
Right.
You kind of knew who the quarterback was. You know, you could talk nice about the backups if you wanted to, but you know, you knew who the quarterback was. In this case, I mean, we know, and I think Bill knows, but they've got to play the game, right?
Yeah, but I've said this before. I truly believe that it'll be a competition, but it won't last very long, right? I don't think Cam Newton's going to walk in day one when they put the pads on and they go, okay, Cam, you know what? You take 8 reps, Stidham, you got 2 reps. I think it's going to be, you know, Cam, you got 5, Stidham, you got 5, or maybe even Stidham, you got 6, Cam, you got 4. And then let me see where they are in a week and a half. Then you're going to see, all right, Cam's getting 8 out of the 10 reps or 7 out of the 10 reps. That's going to be based on how he performs. But in the beginning, it'll be a competition. I think that Stidham will have the opportunity to outplay him.
Yeah, sort of.
You know, but do you think?
I think they pay the proper wordage to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean,
first couple of days of pads on. Don't you think they're going to be getting somewhat equal amount of reps?
I don't, just because I think that they're going to have. I think they're going to have so few padded practice opportunities to get whichever quarterback's going to play to get that person ready. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Jarrett Stidham trotted out on the field for the very first snaps, but I'd be very surprised if he has the same number of snaps as Cam Newton does.
So do you think he has more than Cam?
No, less.
But when you say less, is it 60-40 or?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I guess it would be, what, 60-35 and 5 for Brian Hoyer?
Okay, so.
And that kid that they re-signed, Lewerke.
So then you think it's going to be Cam where, if, like I said, if they get 10 reps, Cam, you get 6. Hoyer, Stidham, you might get 2 or 3, and then we're, you know, throwing the other crumbs to whoever.
Yeah, I just think that they're going to have, what, 10 to 14 padded practices?
Yeah, I think it's 14. I believe it's 14 padded practices.
And you got to get ready. You got to, you know, whoever's going to be your quarterback, you got to get him ready. You don't have exhibition games to get him ready with.
Right, but I think in the first couple of days, they're going to both give these guys the opportunity, you know, to see, okay, how do they shake up? And when I say pads, I mean when we start going
right, full
tilt in, whether it's 7-on-7, whether it's blitz, whether it's, all right, we start doing competitive drills. I think they're going to be relatively 50-50, 60-40. I don't know which direction that might be in the beginning. But within the first couple of days, that person will separate themselves to say, hey, I deserve to be the starter. And if that person happens to be Jarrett Stidham, then he's going to have the opportunity to do that. I don't think he's walking into a situation where you go, all right, I'm only getting 2 reps, so what type of real chance am I getting to beat this guy out? Where I think he's going to have a real chance.
Baseball's got a bit of a problem. It erupted in a game yesterday between the Astros and the A's. We'll talk about that when we come back. It's Dale and Keith. Wiggy's in the house. Sports Radio WEEI.
It's Dale and Keith with Jermaine Wiggins.
Stand by.
On WEEI.
Look out, folks. This is not a good idea. This is not a good idea. Mariano sprinted toward the dugout, and this is not good, folks. This is exactly what Major League Baseball said you absolutely cannot do. Ramon Laureano didn't like what he was hearing from the dugout, and he started sprinting right at the dugout.
Houston, we have a problem. Weekend series between the Houston Astros and the Oakland A's. And just for a little backstory, Wiggy, we'll tell people. Mike Fiers used to pitch for the Houston Astros, signed with the Oakland A's. He's the guy who spilled the beans on the cheating scandal that ultimately cost his general manager and his manager their jobs and all that stuff. So the Astros went into this weekend series against the A's pissed off anyway.
Mm-hmm.
They hit five guys over the course of the three-game series. They hit Ramon Laureano, an outfielder for the Oakland A's, three times in the series, two just yesterday. So he goes down to first base. He's kind of mad anyway. He's been plunked three times in the series. He's been plunked twice during the day, so he's not happy anyway. The hitting coach for the Houston Astros, Alex Cintron, starts jawing with Ramon Laureano. According to reports from the Oakland A's and their manager, Cintron said some stuff about Ramon Laureano's mom, which, you know, you just don't do. Laureano charged towards the dugout.
Mm-hmm.
Cintron made sure he had about three big beefy players between he and Laureano so that he didn't have to actually fight the guy. But both benches cleared. It was a legit base brawl. Okay, this was right. The real deal. It was exactly what Major League Baseball does not want. And as far as I'm concerned, if they determine that Alex Cintron precipitated this by chirping at Laureano about his mother or whatever it is, he's done for the year.
Yeah.
Sit him down.
Yeah, I mean, you probably got to suspend them. I don't know about for the year, but you suspend them. You give them some games. But baseball, I know they don't want it, but actually it makes people want to really watch the sport and get into it if they see a little of this, you know, brawling. I think it's a little fun for baseball to kind of have some of this stuff that goes on, you know, because the sport is so boring anyways. And, you know, this adds a little bit of fireworks to it now. You know, if they have another series, you're probably more likely to tune in and watch.
So Joe Kelly got suspended for 8 games for missing a guy with a curveball.
Right.
What does the Houston Astros pitcher get for not only hitting Ramon Laureano, but hitting him twice in the same game? Well, he didn't hit him both times, but they hit him twice in the same game.
Well, it was in the back, so, right? It's not going to...
Oh, it was up at the shoulder.
Yeah, it's one of them spots. It wasn't like Kelly's situation where he was aiming for the guy's head. This one looked like it caught him right in that one piece of your back where you can't reach, and, you know, that's why he was a little bit upset about it. It was like, got him right there. So I don't think you're going to get 8 games for that unless...
I think he's going to get more.
Really?
Oh, yeah, I do.
Wow. Jesus.
Because it was pretty clear that they weren't exactly trying to miss too many guys. They hit five A's in the course of the weekend. They hit this guy twice. It precipitated what turned out to be a bench-clearing brawl, which is, I know what you're saying about the entertainment value of it, and I like watching it as much as you do, but if you're the commissioner of Major League Baseball, this is the absolute last thing.
But how much would you normally give a guy? Say if there was no shortened season, if he hit somebody, would you give a guy, you know?
Well, they gave Kelly 8 games for missing a guy.
Right, but why did they give him 8 games? Did they give you any reason? They say because he threw at it the guy's head?
Well, I mean, they didn't say at his head, but that's
too long, right? So if
well, I thought it was too long because of the 60-game schedule.
Say it's a you know, there's no shortened season. Giving him 8 games in a 60-game season, isn't that comparable to give him like 20-plus games?
Yeah, probably. I mean,
right. So
realistically.
Would you give him 20-plus games for throwing at a guy and missing him? No, right? You maybe give him, what, 3-4 games?
Well, I thought Kelly should have gotten 3 or 4 games, but he got 8.
No, but I'm saying if there was no, like, shortened season and where, you know, because 8 games is too many. So if you're going to say...
It's not for a 162-game season. For 60, it's too many.
Right. So Kelly probably should have got 8 games if it was 162.
Right.
And the same with this guy here. He probably, if it was 162, he probably gets somewhere between 8 to 10 games. So now you all got 60 games. He probably should get, you know, 2 to 4 games. Now, I don't know what Major League Baseball is doing. I mean, I think they set the precedent with Kelly. So now you got to be at least eight games.
I think it's going to be 10 for the pitcher, and I'm dead serious. I think Alex Cintron is done for the year.
All right, so
I think they're going to say, you know what? You're the one who started this thing. I mean, your pitcher hit this guy, but you're chirping him from the dugout. And by the way, because there's no fans, they got microphones that'll hear everything.
Yeah.
If Cintron was chirping this guy about his mom, go sit down. You know what? Just
stupid.
Go. Just go away.
But it's going to be, what is Major League Baseball? Like, what's their whole new... I know it's a shortened season, but why all of a sudden do they so bring the hammer down and suspending guys for a ridiculous amount of games?
Well, the big thing is the brawls. Because of the pandemic, because of coronavirus, and they're trying so hard, you know, to keep things safe and do all that stuff. You know, you got two teams rolling around in the dirt outside the Astros dugout. I mean, you got to do something.
Both those teams are going to screw up the rest of the league. Now we got to figure out who the Astros got in their next series, who the A's got. Then those guys got to be tested and quarantined. And it's a whole issue because of the brawl. But I'm just talking about as far as the way that they're punishing players. Like the Kelly thing was excessive. And if you suspend this guy for 10 games for throwing at a guy, I mean, that's like, I don't get Major League Baseball with their whole newfound, you know, bringing the hammer down and suspending guys for a ridiculous amount of games is all about.
I'll be curious to see. Jim Bowden, former Major League Baseball general manager, he said Major League Baseball must suspend Alex Cintron for the balance of the 2020 regular season and postseason.
Really?
After provoking Ramon Laureano to a fight. Astros hit Laureano three times over the weekend. Commissioner's office memo threatened severity for fighting.
Mm-hmm.
He had already said after the Joe Kelly thing, you guys fight, I'm bringing the hammer down. Well, now he's got to kind of do it, doesn't he?
Right, but doesn't he have to now bring it down on, what was the guy's name for the A's that charged him?
Ramon Laureano.
Laureano, right? Doesn't
he got hit three times in five games, twice
right.
yesterday. Now, he goes to first base.
Right. Well,
he doesn't do anything until Alex Cintron.
Doesn't matter what.
No, it does matter.
It doesn't matter, Dale,
you're
right?
You're a coach.
I don't care.
You can't be chirping a guy.
It doesn't matter. You're supposed to be the bigger guy and not let the chirping get to you, right? So because somebody's talking, now you see it fit to run over there and start this bench killer and brawl?
I'm telling you, Cintron's going to get much more than Laureano or anybody else is getting.
No, he may, but you
would. And he should.
You'd have to suspend the guy, Laureano, who basically charged them, right?
And they will.
You know, and I don't think you should throw kick the guy out regardless of what he said to him. And he's just going to stop.
By the way, there were those who thought in the whole cheating scandal with the Astros, he should have gotten more than he did. You think the hitting coach didn't know what was going on? The hitting coach didn't know that they were cheating?
Right, but that's now you're talking about a different conversation. So shouldn't the players then get suspended?
Yes, they should have, but they didn't. Because if they came clean, they weren't going to get punished. I agree with you, they should have.
Right, and who knows if the hitting coach came clean?
I'm going to guess he didn't, but you're right.
If you're going to, you can't just suspend... So you can't just suspend the guy at the top because he basically is the overseer of all this. Well, if the players, they could have easily stepped up and said no.
What they did to the general manager.
Right, but they shouldn't have just suspended. That's my point. I wouldn't have just suspended the general manager and the coach. You suspend the players if they're involved in it. Why should they get a pass?
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We've got five questions with Wiggy. I've got one that's already been sent to my Twitter feed. We will ask it of Wiggy at the bottom of the next hour. It's Dale and Keefe with Wiggy, Sports Radio, WEEI.